Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, tributes and ceremonies take place across Georgia on the anniversary of the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. Georgia leaders react to the shooting death of right-wing influencer Charlie Kirk, and some parts of Georgia are still recovering from last year's Hurricane Helene.
I go to therapy and they say, you need to let it out, just let it go. I try, but I can't.
Today is Thursday, September 11th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. Events across the state today remembered the attacks of September 11th, 2001. At Milton High School, north of Atlanta, students Will Chambers and Jack Michaels organized a memorial.
We have 2,977 flags, one for every person that perished in the attacks of the Pentagon, the Twin Towers, and aboard Flight 93.
It makes us feel honored to be a part of this because we know that it's important to never forget about the 9/11 attacks, and it inspires us to help teach other people about this terrible event that happened.
Elsewhere, tributes included concerts, walks, and solemn ceremonies. One was held at the south wing of the state capitol in Atlanta this morning. The city also honored the nearly 3,000 lives lost with a memorial stair climb at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The event challenged participants to climb 110 stories, more than 2,000 steps, symbolizing the height of the Twin Towers. It was a tribute to the victims, including the 343 firefighters and paramedics and 72 law enforcement officers who sacrificed their lives in service on 9/11. Proceeds support first responders who continue to serve and protect our communities every day. Georgia leaders are reacting to the death of right-wing influencer Charlie Kirk. He died on Wednesday at the age of 31 after being shot while hosting an event in Orem, Utah. Kirk was the CEO and co-founder of the conservative youth organization Turning Point USA. On their social media platforms, Governor Brian Kemp wrote, "Political violence is never the answer." Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger wrote, "We must stand together in rejecting violence and recommitting to civility, respect, and the rule of law." And Georgia U.S. Senator John Ossoff wrote, "He was shocked and horrified by the news," adding, "Political violence is unacceptable." Federal Court of Appeals judges from the 11th Circuit have reversed a 2024 decision ruling that Houston County discriminated against a transgender sheriff's deputy when she was denied insurance coverage for gender-affirming surgery. Sergeant Anna Lang sued Houston County and her employer, the Houston County Sheriff's Office, in 2019, saying they violated Title VII. Lower courts originally ruled in her favor, and the county appealed. Senior attorney for Lang, Kelly Perry Johnson, says there's still an opportunity to prove discrimination based on facts of the case that weren't originally argued.
It's not quite as a direct, immediate result because there will have to be a jury trial on those facts, but we do believe we have a strong case for that.
They're also considering petitioning the U.S. Supreme Court. South Korea's president says companies from his country might think twice before investing in the U.S. after a massive immigration raid at a Hyundai plant in southeast Georgia. Korea has become a key partner in Georgia's economic success in recent years, with Kia, Qcells, and SK Battery among Korean companies investing heavily in job-creating factories. President Lee Jae-myung spoke to reporters today after hundreds of South Korean workers were rounded up in the raid last week. Korean news outlet Ararang News interpreted his quote as, "Korean firms will be hesitant to make investments in the U.S. if they fear all kinds of disadvantages or being placed in a difficult position." Governor Brian Kemp's office said Georgia was, quote, "committed to not allowing this unfortunate incident to undo the decades of mutually beneficial partnerships we've built together." The detained workers were transported from an ICE facility in Folkestone to Atlanta, where shortly before noon today, they boarded a charter flight back to Korea. A Georgia pastor and seven associates have been indicted in an alleged multi-million dollar fraud conspiracy that targeted military personnel in a cult-like church based near Georgia's Fort Stewart. U.S. Department of Justice officials today outlined the charges against a man who goes by the name of Ronnie Dennis of the House of Prayer Christian Churches of America, which also had churches near Augusta and in other states. The government alleges Dennis and others used their church positions to manipulate congregants, to force them into marriages, into properties that generated rental income for the defendants, and into Veterans Administration benefits that were funneled into church-controlled accounts as, quote, love offerings that paid for the defendants' credit card bills, according to the indictment. The defendants face various fraud and tax charges. Federal authorities are seeking additional victims of the alleged scheme. Children's Healthcare of Atlanta recently performed Georgia's first commercial gene therapy transplant for a genetic disease requiring lifelong blood transfusions. GPB's Ellen Eldridge explains.
Dr. Jean Boudreau has been treating Josh Dree since he was 5 years old for the genetic blood disorder beta thalassemia. This condition causes severe anemia and requires blood transfusions every 3 weeks. The now 16-year-old's stem cells were used to transplant a missing gene needed for red blood cells. Boudreau says the new treatment is a game changer.
Once they start to recover and start making their own cells, then we basically are just waiting for their whole immune system to sort of reconstitute. And that's where Josh is right now.
Previously, the only cure would have been a bone marrow transplant from a sibling donor. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Georgia policymakers are coming to grips with the closure of three pulp and paper mills this summer. The mill closure in Cedar Springs and the impending closures in Savannah and Riceboro are expected to create billions of dollars in losses for the state's forestry industry. A State House Committee on Rural Development yesterday heard about possible ways to ease the economic blow. Several speakers, including Jason Shaw of the state's Utility Regulating Public Service Commission, called for more aggressive efforts to turn timber into biomass energy.
We got to get biomass back on a level playing field with other forms of generation in terms of the way it's defined and the way it's incentivized and credited on the federal level.
Other speakers addressed ways to help the 1,600 workers now or soon out of jobs. The Bibb County Sheriff's Office has launched a new cold case unit in Macon to tackle unsolved homicides dating back more than 50 years. Investigators say many of the cases involve sexual assaults, gang violence, and robberies that went cold after Macon and Bibb County consolidated in 2014. The program is supported by county funding and a federal grant program. Officials say advances in DNA testing and help from state victims' advocates could bring long-awaited justice. Well, this week on Georgia Public Broadcasting, we've been bringing you stories about how to prepare for what could be an intense hurricane season. Meanwhile, in the band of small towns running from Valdosta to Augusta, people are still recovering from last year's Hurricane Helene. GPB's Grant Blankenship met one man still trying to move on.
Marion Cummings lives in a tidy neighborhood of small houses not far from downtown Thompson, about 35 miles west of Augusta.
Good to meet you. Yeah.
You too.
Yeah, show me what's going on.
That's my house.
The house is still cut in two pieces by an oak tree close to 3 feet in diameter down by the root ball.
That tree came in at 2 a.m.
The Georgia Tech yellow jacket that was already nailed to the trunk a year ago when the tree fell is still there.
Yes, that's the only thing stuck with me. Now, see, if there had been a bulldog, it would have ran.
Cummings is an Army veteran. He spent his career as a cook. He's also an artist, a painter. And he was painting at 2 a.m. as Helene roared through Georgia. He'd just gotten up to take a break.
By that time, I heard something say boom. And up front, the rain and everything was coming in. My neighbor across the street, they ran over to help me get out, and I got out from the back.
The house was destroyed. His insurance policy paid off the mortgage, but won't pay to rebuild. If he raises the window shades in the FEMA camper where he's lived for a year, his entire view is the tree still in his house.
Can you imagine looking at that every day and knowing that you was in there? when it happened.
He leaves the shades down.
Oh, yeah. I go to therapy, and they say, you need to let it out. Just let it go. I try, but I can't.
It might be tempting to write off Marion Cummings' experience as one man's bad luck, but Scott Parrish says Cummings isn't alone.
Right now, in our system, we're working in three counties. We've got over 230 requests for assistance.
In three counties?
In three counties.
Parrish works in disaster relief for the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church, and he's helping Marion Cummings.
And so, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of creativity to kind of extrapolate that across that entire band from Valdosta to Augusta, right?
That's it.
Parrish lives nearby in the town of Abilene. He says Helene is the first hurricane he's worked at home rather than somewhere on the coast. And he thinks recovery could take another year.
But then if we get hit by anything else in the six-month or year period or even two-year period, we're forever trying to play catch-up.
Small kitchen and stuff.
The next storm could see a weakened federal response, too, if President Trump succeeds in ending the Federal Emergency Management Agency, where Marion Cummings says he still has friends.
I couldn't ask for no more for FEMA.
It was FEMA that reached out and connected Parrish's Methodist group and the Red Cross to Cummings.
FEMA could be like an octopus. They could just reach out to other organizations you don't know anything about. And see, that's what happened to me.
Scott Parrish says that's what FEMA does. It connects groups that can help with the people that need them. FEMA workers still call to check up on Marion Cummings, and he may be out of his FEMA camper soon. Mennonite Charity from out of state, another link in the chain FEMA started, is coming to rebuild his home and 29 others in the area in October. He says maybe then Hurricane Helene will be behind him. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Thompson.
And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. We have more on many of the stories that you hear on this podcast at gpb.org/news. We have stories in detail there, and stories also from NPR and our partner news organizations. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment to do that now. That helps you to keep us current in your feed. And if you have feedback, send it to us. We'd love to hear what we're doing right, and constructive criticism as well. Write to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of Georgia Today.